The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
We should stop complaining about drag queen story hour, and Christians should start doing an alternative, you know, and Pastor Story Hour came out there. I went down to the local library and I scheduled a time to do Pastor Story Hour.
Because we're called to make disciples of everybody, right? We're called to be salt and light in our communities, and pastors and really all Christian men should be out there leading the way. If we don't fill the vacuum, who's gonna fill the vacuum? Well, some dude dressed up in lingerie, you know, twerking in front of our kids.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. It's good to be here with you today. Thank you so much. You know, with Drag Queen Story Hour continuing to pop up in locations all across the country, two pastors, they're on a mission to push back with their own effort geared at instilling a biblical worldview in children. And I do appreciate the fact that as we see evil rise, and we are seeing it rise, there are those who want to stand against it. There are those who are saying, hey, enough's enough. I'll do my part to make a difference. Let me leave it at that. You just got to do your part. There's so much. Maggie and I were just talking before the broadcast about some other news here, and it's just like, you know, when you're so close to the news so much, it can really get depressing. You can almost be overwhelming. But we are, as I like to say, people of hope. And in the end, good always conquers evil. A little bit of a disappointment as I was walking into the studio a couple hours ago. The House voted to pass the Senate version of the so-called Respect for Marriage Act, which I heard somebody say this, and I should call it this, because I thought it's a great term. Instead of Respect for Marriage Act, the Disrespect for Marriage Act. Isn't that clever? I think, oh, bravo, you're right. That's exactly what it is. The Disrespect for Marriage Act. 36 Republicans. Boo. They all joined, right? 36 Republicans joined all of the Democrats. Boo. Right? To vote in favor of it. What's the matter with you people? I mean, honestly, I sit back here. I get so frustrated when I hear some of this. What is wrong with you? I mean, where's your mind? Look at where this can lead. Look at the offense it has, not only against the institution of marriage, but against God. So what happens next? It goes before none other than our fearless leader, the president. President Joe Biden will receive this on his desk. What do you think he's going to do? You think he'll sign it? Of course he's going to sign it, right? Of course he's going to sign it. It's a done deal. Now, Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Vice President of Strategic Initiatives is a guy named Ryan Bangert. This is what he said. He said that, quote, the House voted today to prioritize virtue signaling over protecting the freedom to hold decent and honorable beliefs about marriage. It's an attack on what you believe regarding marriage. It's an attack on marriage. It's an attack on your marriage. He said this. He says, the bill, which provides no protection or benefits that same-sex couples don't already enjoy, he says it deceptively gives lip service to religious liberty while undermining the First Amendment. It's really true, and we've talked about this for several days. I had asked you to go to contact your elected official to let your voice be known, because this is more than just marriage. Yeah, it's this, the Disrespect for Marriage Act. But it's really an attack on religious freedom and religious liberties. And I've said this ever since the Obergefell decision, and I'll continue to say it. Religious liberty, it's in the crosshairs. And this is what, this is a natural byproduct of it. I'll go back to, again, what Ryan Bangert said. He says, this bill, which provides no protection or benefits that same-sex couples don't already enjoy, it deceptively gives lip service to religious liberty while undermining the First Amendment freedoms that belong to each of us. For months, many Americans, faith-based organizations, and churches across the country have raised concerns about the undeniable harms in churches across the country, the undeniable harms of this bill, yet Congress has rejected all attempts to include comprehensive religious liberty protections. Now, you know, you may not have liked it, but if you would have been able to safeguard religious liberty, it may have been more digestible. But I just go back to what I said in the beginning. What's up with these 36 Republicans and every single Democrat? You not care about religious liberty? I guess not, right? I guess not. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to look in and justify or say, this is why they voted this. No, they're sellouts. You know, they're sellouts to the progressive cultural ideology of our day. And nobody thinks, nobody looks down the road and around the bend and says, if we open this Pandora's box, what happens next? So, you know, we're setting a fire that's going to be put out because it's going to spread and you're going to see more of it. You know, this whole drag queen story hour business, I don't want to be uncharitable. I received a letter from somebody saying, oh, you know, you need to be kinder. I'm a kind man. I am. My heart's filled with love and compassion and mercy for people that I encounter. But I got to call evil evil. And I've got to speak truth, you know, when there is an injustice. And you just got to call out some of this insanity, right? This whole drag queen story hour business has, I think, become more than just a stupid publicity move by the gay rights movement. I think it's now entrenched in the ideology of public libraries. And this is that slippery slope I talk about. This is the evolution. This is how the smoke gets in through the cracks. This is what happens when you open that Pandora's box I talk about. One thing leads to another. I know some of you might say, oh, that's an exaggeration, Drew. Come on. No. Actor Kirk Cameron, I don't know if you heard about him. He decided to test things out. I found this fascinating. He got a new kids book out. It's called As You Grow, right? And, of course, if you don't know Kirk Cameron, he's a devout Christian, right? Cameron wrote this, from a Christian perspective, right? And his publisher decided to try to get him some appearances at some public libraries. You know, he's also, a famous actor. People know him. They said, we'll get you in there with your new book As You Grow. We'll get you some public readings. They contacted 50 libraries. 50, right? Guess how many accepted him? No, Maggie. Not 10, not 5, not 2. 0. Every single library turned him down. Every single library. Maggie's asking me, what state? I'm not sure where the libraries were. They reached, I'm sure it's probably across the country, 50 of them, and people said, no, we don't want this. We don't want wholesome books. No, we want drag queen story hours in our libraries, right? We want America, American Girl to tell little girls that, hey, you don't need to tell your parents you're questioning your gender. Go to page 98. We'll give you some resources you can talk to. We can help you do that, right? I mean, there's such confusion out there. So they contacted 50 libraries. Every one of them turned them down. To me, it's just one example. In fact, I think there was a report in the Daily Wire that I saw that one of those libraries was a public library, Maggie, actually. I think it was in Providence, Rhode Island. And this library hosts a recurring program for members of the LGBTQ+ community who are age 12 or older. And they have this program called Queer Umbrella. So Kirk Cameron, he said, and this is what he said. He says, look, publicly funded libraries are greenlighting gender marker and they're naming and name-changing clinics while denying a story time that would involve reading of a book that teaches biblical wisdom. How much more clear can it get, he says. We have to start fighting back. We're going to lose our kids and this country. And you're right. Maggie, you bring up a good point. Maggie was saying to me right before we walked in, she says, would the libraries do this to a Muslim or Jewish book? I don't know. I would not think so. But Christianity, as I said, is now in the crosshairs. It's in the crosshairs of the culture. And we're going to continue to see more Christian persecution. We're going to continue to see more of this, where you'll accept aberrations and deviances. You're going to see things that are anti-God, anti-family, anti-child, anti-life, right? They are things that go against the natural order and natural law. You're going to see them champion and promote it. But anything that holds Christian values, you watch how hard it is. I mean, Kirk Cameron couldn't even get a book in a library, an actor like him. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Look, that's why we need to pray the rosary. It really is the solution. I forget what Pope said. He says, but if you want peace in your family and in the country and in the world, then pray the rosary every day. Sister Lucia de Santa said, there's not a problem that cannot be solved, spiritual or material, through the rosary. So, look, I'm going to be joining Father Rocky tonight on the Rosary Across America. And I had a great opportunity to talk to Father Rocky. He's stopping by the studio now. And let me share part of that conversation.
Hey, and big news today. I hope you'll join me a little bit later tonight. Patrick Madrid and I are going to be joining Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America. And it's a significant night. You know, he sat back and thought, man, 1,000 rosaries. How many days is that? When did it begin? Father Rocky is going to be celebrating the 1,000th rosary that he's prayed on this, the great feast of the Immaculate Conception. I want to invite you to join us. That'll be 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, and of course, 5 on the Pacific time zone. So feel free to join Patrick and Father and me as we invoke the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Love to have you there with us. Father's with me today in studio, and it's always a delight to have him. Father, great to have you in studio.
True. It's great to be with you. And I tell you, we've just got an awesome team here at Relevant Radio that's made this possible. So when I got back from the Holy Land in 2020, everything was shutting down from COVID. We came back on March 14th, and we went on air. I think it was the 16th, Monday the 16th. And since everything was shutting down, I said, well, we got to keep the Mass on air. And if people can't come in and the priest can't come in, well, I'll just move up there and do the Mass every day. And I thought, well, since I'm here, I might as well do the rosary in the evening.
Right. You're right.
So Father Dave Heaney passed down the baton and Karen Moran joined me. And we started doing the rosary live every night. And tonight marks 1,000 nights since that happened. Actually, it's Saturday the 10th, but we're going to do it tonight. Right? That's close enough, right?
That's right.
998. And I was thinking, you know, that's a lot of Hail Marys, right? So in a typical rosary, there are 72 prayers that you pray.
Really?
Between the 10 Hail Marys each decade, the Glory Bees, the Our Fathers, the Oh My Jesus Is, right? The Creed and all that. So 72. So you imagine if you did that for 1,000 days, that would be like 72,000. But if you've got 100,000 people who tune in on a daily basis, that's 7.2 billion prayers prayed.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. That's got to be getting heaven's attention. So tonight you're joining us. It's great. And Patrick's going to join us. But I really have to give the credit to our team here. Patrick Galog, he's one of the producers. Dan Axt is our videographer. It started with Damon Schmidt at the beginning of COVID. Jim Shaper's the other producer. And we've got a number of co-hosts who are ready to step in at a moment's notice. Started with Karen Moran, and then it transferred to Margaret Kleinschmidt. We've had Sarah Tafoya, and she's available when needed. And Michaela Fox is available when needed. On the weekends, Karen Fryhammer, and even Maggie Greschel.
She's one of my favorites.
Yes, I'll bet she is. So she's helped out quite a bit, too. So that's been a great boost for us. And then we have the sound engineers in the background. There's a lot that goes into it, as you know, about lines and microphones and all that. So Marty Jury, Eddie Ramos-Ortega, Matt Beardsley, Mark Piacic, Lauren Rimza. We've been able to keep this live Monday through Friday just about every night of these years, either broadcasting from my studios at home in Chicago, our studios here in Lincolnshire, our studios in Park Ridge, our studios in Green Bay, and then what I call my mobile studios. You know what my mobile studios are?
No, no idea.
That's my car.
All right. You've done it from your car?
Oh, I have, a number of times. All right, so I've got an app on my phone that finds a cell phone tower, and if I got at least two or three bars on it, then I can connect to our studios through this awesome app called Report It Tyline. Right. It's like I'm in the studios. Because I tell the people, why should you show up if I don't show up? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel I really have to kind of lead the way there. I've had to adjust things in my schedule, right? I really don't go out on weeknights.
It's a commitment. It's a big commitment. It's true. You have to be there every day. Otherwise, audience goes away. Let's talk about the growth, though, because you said during COVID it was huge. Tell me about the growth of this, because you're not only on the radio, you're on YouTube, you're on social media, and you reach the world, literally, with this rosary. It's not just across America.
Well, thanks be to God, we're broadcasting on, I don't know, 205 AM and FM stations. Yeah. We're going to continue to grow. So we're coast to coast, Maui to Maine, reaching 250 million people or so. Yeah. So the vast majority of people who tune into the radio for the rosary, they're in the car. Right. And it's 8 o'clock in New York, it's 7 o'clock in Chicago, 6 in the Mountain States, 5 o'clock, but it's all live at the same time.
Yeah.
Right, so everybody has kind of their pattern there. So 5 o'clock, it's people getting home, getting ready for dinner, the family's around. They put it on the radio, they put it on the big screen, however they want to do it. And since we were already doing Facebook Live video of the Mass when COVID happened, I said, well, why don't we do that for the rosary? And since we're going to move the mass to noon, and people said, why don't you do the mass at noon? I said, because I want to make sure Drew's up by then.
Right? I got a show to do 2 hours later.
All right. Why don't we just do it across what we're doing, Facebook? And then we ran out of bandwidth there, and we had to get a new video service, streaming service, yeah. And then we got on YouTube. And wherever people let us stream, we're going to stream, right? We could bring it out to the world there. So it's grown, but the most important thing is it stayed steady. You know, we have, on an average night, 7,000 to 8,000 IP addresses streaming concurrently. But we know, on average, there's 4 people behind each device. Sometimes there's 40 people, sometimes there's 1, right? So right there, and it stays very steady, 28 minutes, and super engaged. We receive thousands and thousands of prayer requests every day on Facebook and YouTube. We receive hundreds at our in our website, which we pray for every day during the chapel at 3 and the rosary at 7 and mass at noon. And then as people are waking up in Africa, India, and Asia, they tune it in because once it's done, it stays there on demand. You can get it on relevantradio.com, on the app, on YouTube and Facebook, and people all over the world participate in it. It's amazing.
So of all the 1,000 rosaries, 1,000 days, I should say, you've been on the air, is there a particular encounter that stands out? Is there some call or person or testimony you said, wow, that was something else?
There's a lot that stick out, you know, but I remember early in COVID, I think it was early April. Yeah. So I've got my headphones on, and we're just getting pictures of families that we're putting out there, and we're letting this go along. The producer says in my headphones, Jeremy, I think that's the boy's name, from Union Township, New Jersey, is calling in. So that's all I know. And I take the phone, go, hi, Jeremy, how are you? And it's a 12-year-old boy. Hi, Father Rocky. So that immediately gets my attention. Wow, this is a youngster calling in. What's your prayer intention? So, well, mom says dad needs a miracle. Mm. I love that. Mom says. Yeah, not right. My mom, not our mom. Mom. Like right. Universal mom right. says. Mom says dad needs some miracles. Yep. He's in the IUC, and he's got COVID, and he's on a ventilator. Right? And I said, wow. Well, Jeremy, what's your father's name? Pedro Gonzalez. I said, okay, we're going to remember Pedro Gonzalez. I think it was Pedro Gonzalez. Maybe it was Martinez, but I think it was Gonzalez. And I said, how many brothers and sisters do you have? I got 2 little sisters. And I said, so you're the man of the house right now? He said, yep, I am. I said, well, we're really proud of you. We're going to have the whole nation pray for your dad for a miracle that he recovers from COVID and he gets out of the ICU, right? So this is early in COVID, and we know, you know, people are dying like flies out on the East Coast, and people in New Jersey and New York are really, really scared. And because of that word of mouth, I mean, our audience went up 40% overnight.
Wow.
You know, without any That's paid crazy. Advertising.
Wow.
Yep. For the rosary, for the mass. I don't know how many people I meet, Drew, who tell me, gosh, you know, God bless you. You got us through COVID. You never see these people, right? Yeah. You know, like you're behind a microphone. You don't see who you're reaching, exactly. right? You're behind a camera. You don't know who you're reaching. You know what kind of contact. So 2 weeks later, we're doing the rosary because all these intentions are going and life is going at the speed of light. You can't remember everything. I get another phone call. Jeremy from Union, New Jersey calls in. Hi, Father Rocky. I said, is that you, Jeremy? Didn't you call in 2 weeks ago? I said, yeah. I said, that's amazing. Because like, it's really hard to get through. Well, what's your prayer intention? Oh, we got a miracle. You know, mom says it's a miracle.
I love it.
My dad's out of the ICU.
I love it.
And but he still needs to recover, so we need to pray for him. I said, well, that's great. Thanks be to God. And then about a week later, I pull out my phone. I'm looking at my news feed, and the headline is, the president of hospital calls it a miracle.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, gee, what's this? NJ.com said, oh, that's NewJersey.com. Well, it turns out to be this. Yeah. The president of the hospital said that his father getting off the ventilator after 38 days, it's a miracle. And I knew it was. Amazing. You know, and there are many other things that come in that you remember, right? But it's a beautiful thing. You know, it certainly gives me a lot of energy. And, you know, my dream, my hope is the more people praying at the same time, the more powerful the person. And this is a healing moment for families because it brings together Our Lady, brings people together. And sometimes people are concerned, wow, there's no way I can get all the kids to participate or concentrate. They're fidgety. That's okay. Just call a timeout for the whole family. Everybody's in the same room for a half hour. If they're fooling around, well, that's what kids do. Right. Or if you're making dinner, well, that's dinner time. Right. But do the best you can, and this will help you.
What do you think makes this prayer so incredibly powerful? Because we've seen it across the ages, from the time of St. Dominic when he vanquished the Albigensian heresy to communist rule to our own day. I mean, you've seen just miracles. And I really attribute the fall of the Iron Curtain to the Blue Army praying rosaries, you know, year after year. It took 70 plus years for the Iron Curtain to collapse, but I really believe it was a rosary that brought both protection and conversion. And I think it's at work today as well. What, in your opinion, what do you think it is about this prayer that resonates so powerfully
with God? I think it's very powerful because you go directly to Our Lady, and Mary brings us directly to Jesus. Of course, today's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Get this, Drew. Our Lady, say the theologians, has received more graces than all the angels and saints combined. She's right next to Jesus, right? So she brings us to Jesus. And Jesus is the King of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He's all-powerful. And we see Our Lady's intervention at Cana, where Jesus originally looked like he didn't want to do anything, and she said to the servants there, "We'll do whatever he tells you," and kind of saved the day. So she's an intercessor for us. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's very powerful, because Mary is right next to Jesus, and he's not going to say no to Our Lady. But also because it's easy, it's simple, it's humble. Anyone can pray those prayers. A four-year-old can. Four-year-olds do. A 94-year-old can't. And when Pope Francis was elected and came out in the Loge of St. Peter's on March 13th, 2013, I remember I was doing commentary on air on WGN at Chicago TV station, and he bowed his head, he greeted the people, and he said, let's say a couple of prayers. He said, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. Very simple prayers. Anyone can pray those. So I think because it's easy, it's simple, it's humble, it's powerful. Plus, Our Lady specifically asked that we pray the rosary at Fatima and at Lourdes to pray for the conversion of sinners and pray for peace in the world. John Paul II was a great devotee of it. So everyone's got their own story, but that's my story.
Well, a couple things, Father, because I only have a few minutes left. One, you and I are going to be together in Indiana. If you got time.
Maybe, oh, yeah, next Monday night.
Maybe Monday you can stop by the studio again. We'll talk about that. That's going to be a wonderful experience. I hope everyone will join us for the rosary, celebrating the great Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. But tonight is a big night. Again, what can people expect when they tune in to the rosary? We kind of have a special rosary going this evening.
You can expect to be in a big room with about 100,000 people praying the rosary. Wow. You won't see them, but they'll be there. You'll be part of a very powerful experience of what we call the communion of saints. Yep. Where you saw this early on when you started doing the chaplet live. Right. We started getting these testimonials of prayers answered, miracles, right. Real miracles, like holy smokes.
Right. Prayers answered.
And I said, Drew, put it on the wall of mercy. And you said, okay. And after 6 months of saying this, you said, what's the wall of mercy? I said, I don't know. It's like a wall of fame. We got to have a wall around here somewhere, right?
It's
and
so
we
true.
See the same thing with the rosary. These prayers answered. I tell people, the more people praying at the same time, the more powerful prayers. So we invite them to call in, get their prayer intention on the air. And if they can't get it on the air because the phones are almost always jammed, I said, just go to our website, relevantradio.com/pray, tap in your prayer intention there. We print them out every day. We read them every day. We put about 10 on the air. We give the rest to Jesus. So you can expect that it will be joyful, and it'll be the fastest half hour of the day, the happiest half hour of the day. And you will hear the needs of the other people around the country. And usually you walk away from thinking about that saying, oh, you know what? My situation's not so bad.
Right.
When you hear about what other people are suffering, right?
That's so true.
And it's good for our common empathy for the rest of the people. You don't have to be Catholic to pray it. Right. It's free. You don't even have to, you know, believe to pray it. You know,
amen.
Everybody's welcome.
And we're glad to pray with you and for you as well. I know sometimes it's hard to pray when you're in a difficult situation. So join Father Rocky tonight and every night, 7 p.m. Central, right here on Relevant Radio and across of a lot of our social media platforms. Patrick Madrid and I will be joining him as well. So special night tonight. We look forward to praying with you. Father, thank you.
True. It'd be
we'll
great
catch
to be
up
with
again
you.
Soon. Can't wait. We'll
great
pray
to
together
be
soon.
You bet.
All right. That was Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, as everyone knows him, host of the Family Rosary Across America. I'll be right back.
Getting you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio. This is the Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
I think this is a great day to have Brittany home. I'm happy for her and for her family. A horrible experience, I'm sure. But the real problem here is just the weakness of this president. We've got a Marine sitting over there. We traded this merchant of death guy who was going to target U.S. military personnel. And so what is the message we're sending to the people serving in our military or who might one day serve? We'll leave the Marine in the jail in Russia. We'll free the guy who was going to target U.S. military soldiers and just get, you know, the high-profile basketball player. It's a terrible message to send not only to the despots of the world who now know that they can get a trade if they just capture an American, but to the military, the United States military, who are saying, yeah, I can serve this country and the president will leave me and take the basketball player.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Representative Mark Green. He's a Republican from Tennessee discussing the Biden administration prisoner swap, securing the release of Brittany Griner, the WNBA basketball star. A couple things here. I think he's right. And before we get into some of this, though, I just want to say, look, this is a victory, though. An American citizen is back on U.S. soil. So looking at that first, I'm delightful. I've traveled abroad a lot. I often thought, man, what if I was falsely accused of something? Or, you know, Brittany, she might have even been guilty of the allegations of having, you know, cannabis oil in her vape pens. And does it mean you get sent to a penal colony in Russia? I was reading last week, actually over the weekend, about what these women in these penal colonies have to do. I mean, they're sent to these sewing machines. They have very little food and sustenance. It's cold. The punishments are long. They've got these overbearing quotas. There's some abuse. I mean, there's a lot that goes on there. It's not a very pleasant run, that's for sure. So I am very happy Brittany, you know, Griner, an American, is back on U.S. soil. So let's rejoice that. To Representative Green's comments, I think you're right. You know, you have got to realize the man that we made the swap with. You got a player who may have a drug issue. He swapped for Victor Bout, an arms dealer who has been dubbed the merchant of death because he would sell arms to both sides of a conflict. He'd flout any arms embargo on a rogue nation. And the man was sent away for a long time. I was just hoping we'd get a little bit more out of the deal. I'm glad Griner's home again. I want to say that. But I think about another American that is over there. And again, I'm not on the negotiating table, so I don't know what is happening here. But poor Paul Whelan and his family, right? He's still over there. Apparently the Biden administration neglected to push. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I'm just surprised that Paul Whelan is not in this exchange. It looks like Vladimir Putin might have had the, you know, his negotiators, you know, get a better deal here. Whelan's a former Marine, as you heard Representative Green talk about, a former Marine with a dishonorable discharge who was arrested while attending a friend's wedding in Russia and charged with spying. He's serving a 16-year sentence. But meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin told the Russian High Human Rights Council, which is just a mind-boggling thing to think that such a council even exists in that country, that the war in Ukraine, he says it's going to take a while. It's not over, right? He intends to pound this thing out. That, of course, is stating the obvious, right? CNN reported that he also said that he won't rule out the use of nuclear weapons. And I always hate to hear that come back to the conversation. Again, he won't rule out the use of nuclear weapons, though he said they would only be used in a retaliatory way. CNN reported that the UN has been warning of a risk of a nuclear accident at the Ukrainian nuclear plant there. It's Ukraine's largest power plant, which has been occupied by Russian forces since March. So a lot of prayers still needed for Russia, right, and for these international and these global conflicts. We need peace. Need peace in the world. And I'll encourage you to go back to the rosary again. I'm going to pray the chaplet in about 25 minutes. Pray with me. We'll ask for the Lord's mercy. He said the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to his mercy. That's what he told St. Faustina. You know, you take a look at many of the saints and popes. They've said the same thing about the power of the rosary. So let's pick up our weapons, you know, our spiritual weapons to disengage these weapons of war. Russia is unleashed a barrage of missiles onto Ukraine's energy infrastructure earlier this week. And they've been doing that since October. That, of course, is having a profound impact on the civilian population, and it's forcing them to face freezing temperatures. Perhaps a winner without heat. Now, this might not resonate with you because your heat's set to 72 degrees or 70 or 68 or 67 or wherever you keep it in your house, right? If you live in the upper Midwest, if you live in an area that gets some really cold temperatures, you know what it's like not to have heat if your power ever goes out. In fact, my wife and I, a couple of weeks ago, made me think of the Ukrainian people. I live in a house, I've got two different heating systems, right? Because you have these zones. And the unit for the lower level of the house went out, right? And I'll tell you what, it was freezing. Try taking a shower, you know, or getting out of the bed in the morning when you don't have heat, right? And I thought, meanwhile, the unit on the second floor was working, right? So you could actually either sleep up there or take a shower up there, or you could do what you want. I'm thinking, you know, I'm crying because the temperature in the house, you know, oh, it's cold. It's not 30 degrees, right? It's not 24. It's not 17 degrees like a lot of Ukrainian people are dealing with. Imagine no hot water. Imagine no heat in your home. Imagine no power. I can't. I just think, you know, it's amazing. Lose your power for a little bit of time. You'll really appreciate it. You know, turn your heat down for the day. Offer that up. Watch what happens, right? But there are civilians, thanks to this war, that are going to freeze. They're going to suffer. Putin is just, he's unleashing a barrage, is the word I'm using, of missiles on their energy infrastructure. It's deliberate and it's targeted. And measures like that, they actually violate the rules of war, which say that only military personnel and structures are supposed to be targeted. Putin doesn't care, right? He's known for not exactly following the rules. And I understand the strategy here too, though. I was thinking about the psychology. I'm thinking, when you have no heat, no water, you can't, you know, when you have no electricity, you just want out of the war. Okay, I'm done, please. Just give me a heat and a hot shower, right? You know, it's a way to break the spirit of the people. And it's psychological warfare, too. I mean, it comes on so many different levels. There were explosions at military bases deep inside Russia earlier this week, and Russia's accusing the Ukraine of sending drones to do the damage. Kyiv has remained silent on the accusation. But I've invited somebody to give us a perspective of what's happening there on the ground. I think it's important. I think we should be in the know on this. This is a soundbite on your news, right? You see it, you think, oh, that's really horrible. And then we go on to something else, right? You go do your Christmas shopping or you turn the heat up because you got to chill, right? People in Ukraine can't. They can't. You know, I'm joined today by Valentina Postukova. She's originally from the city where Ukraine's largest nuclear power plant is. She came to the U.S. when she was just 18, settled in the western central Wisconsin. And ever since her conversion to the Catholic faith, she's been passionate about bringing help to her homeland. She started a nonprofit called Chalice of Mercy just to do that. And I thought we'd just get some insight on what's happening here. She joins us right now. Her website, by the way, if you want to check it out, chaliceofmercy.org is the website. Valentina, good afternoon. Good to have you back.
Thank you so much, Drew. I'm really thankful for this opportunity, really. It's been 11 months exactly since the last time we've talked.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm grateful to have you back. I just think about the temperatures. I know you are in central Wisconsin. I saw a weather map earlier today. Temperatures there are going to be, I think, in the teens this week. There's a cold front moving into your area. I can't imagine not having heat in an area like that, let alone in Ukraine. Paint a picture for us. What are the people going through right now? How bad is it?
So, you know, right now it's really rapidly beginning to be really cold. And every day I communicate with my family who remain there in Zaporizhia and volunteers who are helping Chalice of Mercy. You know, they're all just sharing how it's, you know, pretty soon it will be very, very difficult. I have temperature of the house. My house in Ukraine is 11 degrees Celsius. So you can imagine it's really, really cold. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we have power out of the city practically 9 hours per day, imagine. So people are really forced to kind of be creative. And yet I love how you mentioned Ukrainian, you know, how Ukrainians Putin see them as just to break the spirit, right? Yeah. Break the spirit of the free country of of free people, and nobody complains. Everybody is absolutely, you know, with a courageous strength, are overcoming these obstacles, anything but push Russians out of our land, our country,
right.
Lives of our people. Yes. So
you hear hear from people daily about what's going on in your home country. You're saying it's 11 degrees Celsius. For those who don't know the conversion, that's probably about 51, 52 degrees Fahrenheit. That's cold. And it's only going to get colder. What are you hearing from people in your homeland? How dire is the situation, especially in terms of the civilian population? And I know there's concern also about the nuclear power plant over there. It's a very dangerous time for Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Zaporizhia is a frontline city. Practically, we have 15, 20 minutes from Zaporizhia, active fights. Very, very active and brutal war is happening right there. And my city has been attacked every single day. Practically any time I call, my volunteers or my relatives, I hear the sirens on the phone, behind the behind our conversation. And it just, if I talk for 1 hour, it will be for 1 hour. Sometimes it's 6 hours per day, so imagine. So obviously we are a city that receives many people who are trying to exit the occupied territories, and now deoccupied territories as well. And so we go in, or we receive the groups of people, volunteers who come to receive humanitarian aid, either food, clothing, or medical supplies, surgical supplies for hospitals or medical teams, and it's just what they say is the horrific, absolute horrific scenarios that what Russians left after they have, fled a small village or bigger, doesn't matter. They left such a destruction after themselves, it's like invasion of the total evil and the people who are possessed in heart, So you see children, you see children who were raped, you see families that, severely injured, elder people who are bedridden, who are neglected for months, so relatives were not able to get there and to help them. It's just a horror. Stories that unending seems,
I was reading several articles on it. They had cautions at the very beginning where they were telling these horrible stories about husbands and wives who were arrested and separated, how the wife was threatened with rape. In many cases, she was repeatedly raped and let the husband hear her screams. I mean, the stuff that they were doing there was absolutely horrible, let alone some of the other war crimes that have been promulgated. I'll tell you what, stay with me for a quick second. I just had to take a short pause here, Valentina. When we come back, I want to get everybody plugged in to what else is happening, how they can ultimately help. And of course, the Chapel of Divine Mercy is about 15 minutes away. We'll pray for that. Of course, Volodymyr Zelensky is seen as a national hero. Time magazine just named him Person of the Year. There are some people, though, in the conservative movement who are starting to push back against him. Why is that? We'll look at that and more. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up next.
Yeah, can you believe it's been nearly 10 months after the invasion of Ukraine began with Russian Vladimir, with President Vladimir Putin acknowledging just the other day that, look, this conflict's not over. I know it's been 10 months. It's going to take a long while, he's telling his people. And he actually warned of increasing threats of nuclear retaliation. He said, no, it's just strictly retaliatory. But he spoke at a meeting of the Russian Human Rights Council, the Kremlin, and he says, look, we're going to fight, and we're going to use everything, every means at our disposal. And he is still not calling this a war. He's calling it a special military operation. But he said, I don't see any immediate need to mobilize any other troops. So what's he doing? He's bombarding the people there. And he's taking out energy grids. And it's not just a military conflict. There's a lot of psychological warfare. There's a lot of reported war crimes. And there's just a lot of suffering going on right now. And I would encourage you to continue to pray and help in any way you can those who have a lot less than perhaps you do today. And I'm joined today by somebody who's doing just that. She started a nonprofit called Chalice of Mercy. And you can check them out at chaliceofmercy.com. And Valentina Posukova, who is originally from the city where Ukraine's largest nuclear power plant is. And you've seen that in the news, too. That's a lot of warnings about the danger there. Valentina, it's good to have you back. I want to pick up on a couple things. The money that we're sending to the Ukraine right now, there's been, politically speaking, pushback on how much money is going over there from the U.S. People are wondering about accountability. The U.S. is sending money to the Ukraine along with the weapon systems that are there. There are even people in the conservative movement who are beginning to push back against the president, Volodymyr Zelensky. Even though Time magazine just named him the person of the year, he's viewed by everybody as a hero. They're claiming he was trying to drag the U.S. into a third world war and that there's no way to account for all the money that we sent over there. Love your take on all of this type of reporting. You know, what is this about Zelensky? Is there something bigger going on? What do we know about the funds that are making their way to Ukraine?
Well, you know, it's very important to understand that the war which is happening in Ukraine right now is not a new war. It started way back in 2013 when people began Revolution of Dignity. Imagine, Ukrainian people were just had absolutely enough of Soviet Union. Still, you know, we were still very much tied with a silk thread to the Red Dragon tail. You know, we were independent since 1991, but in fact, we were never independent. It always depended on who was the president at that time in Russia, how tighter we were to the government of Russia, no? So that started way long time ago, 9 years ago. So Vladimir Zelensky at that time was not even probably dreaming to become a president, you know? So Vladimir Putin was waiting for the weakest moment in the world. And I believe that was what pushed him to begin full invasion in Ukraine, is that when he saw Afghanistan, the military, U.S. military withdrawing from Afghanistan, he saw that United States becoming weak, and he began his full-scale invasion. He is not caring for Ukraine only, though he was shouting all over the place that I don't want NATO bordering my country, right. No? But in fact, if he would take Ukraine in 3 days, as he said, no, and he still have not been able to achieve that, if he would border NATO countries right there, and he would begin to tickle the ribs of United States of America already then. So people need to understand that Ukraine right now is a bulletproof jacket for entire world. It's not about Ukraine only. Finally, European countries begin to understand this, no? Mm-hmm. Vladimir Putin wants America and Russia. He would want to draw that into himself. No, he's such a captain that will go down with a ship and drag with him thousands of lives. You know, right. This is just continuation of the history of Russia, which always wanted Ukraine. This has been going on even more than 9 years, 100 years. With Lenin, with Stalin, who starved Ukrainians, over 10 million people were starved because of him. He said, when Ukrainian people appealed to him, said, please, don't take our grain, don't take our food. He said, you're not hungry yet because you have not begun to eat your children.
Wow.
When you will eat your children, that's when you will be starving. So, you know, and then we're talking about such a jealousy that the Russian people always had towards Ukraine. They hated us. The fact is that they hated us. They always wanted to take peace away from us, our language, our culture, our music, our everything that was within Ukrainian person in the soul, you know, and faith too, right? So it's not about Vladimir Zelensky. In fact, and I must mention this, Vladimir Zelensky is the best president we had so far. of independent country Ukraine. He is not putting up with any manipulations, and he is awakening, shouting, already shouting now, look, we have a bloodsucker in our heart. We have somebody who's eating our blood, and we are very vulnerable right now because we give up our nuclear power weapons. We give up everything, and America guaranteed their help. United Kingdom also, and now we are asking only, you know, close the airspace, nothing, you know, help us with, you know, financially. Majority of that is, it looks like it's money arriving to Ukraine, but in fact, it is more in, you know, this money arriving as a military equipment to us.
I'm aware of that. We only have a few minutes left. I want to make sure that people are aware of what you're doing to help as well. And in the remaining few minutes that we have, talk about Chalice of Mercy, your nonprofit, and how it does come to the aid of those who are suffering.
Yes. So since the second day of full invasion, now it's been, we are 15 years old. And Chalice of Mercy was born to help Ukrainian people. But I'll just, in this moment, focus on what we have been doing already for this last month. So since the second day of war, I have been with my team collecting, you know, finding the ways how to ship medical supplies, surgical supplies. And now we have shipped more than 200 tons of medical surgical supplies to Ukraine. And we cover all the region down from Kherson to Odessa, helping hospitals, civil hospital, military hospitals, and also trench hospitals with amazing things. Each pallet we ship is worth around $45,000. Imagine. And we have 23 pallets each time, 25 pallets. So about $2 million goes every 2.5 weeks. That's been our work, very effective. We ship everything from New Jersey to Poland, Warsaw, from Warsaw it arrives to Lviv, and from Lviv to Zaporizhia. And believe it or not, everything, we're able to achieve this in 10 days. So that's fantastic. And another part of our just incredible mission that just started 6 months ago, and I'm part of it as well, was Protest Foundation. And Protest Foundation was founded specifically to help rehabilitate men, and those men who lost limbs, military, who are right now, in fact, there's more than 12,000 military men who lost limbs. So Protest Foundation, just in a short period of time existing, was able to give back feet and hands to over 30 soldiers. And we just right now currently received another 9, and we will continue. So if people would like to know more about Protest Foundation directly, it's protestfoundation.org. Want to donate there directly. It's fantastic, very, very good standing organization. And I see everything happening right in front of my eyes.
Well, I am really grateful for all that you have done. I hope people will check out Chalice of Mercy. And I hope they'll keep you and, of course, your people in your homeland deeply in their prayers. Thank you for what you're doing. Our prayers are with you, and I'm hoping a financial support will be there for you as well. Okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. And truly pray the rosary. That's the weapon, as you said. That's true.
You're absolutely right. I would love to take a few phone calls, but I'm up against the clock. I got to leave it right there. Valentina, thank you. We'll catch up again, okay?
God bless you. Right. Thank you, everybody.
God bless you.
Thank you. My prayers to you all. Thank you.
And we'll pray for you. We're coming up in just about a minute. In fact, we're going to be praying the chaplet a minute or two from now. So if you want to get in, best way to do that is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll take, you know, the first 5, 6, 7 telephone calls if I can get them in. And, of course, you can send us your prayer intentions on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. All right, and we'll go ahead and Maggie will bring them to air as well. Feel free to join me. Lines are open right now. They'll fill up quickly. Okay? Chapel of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. I'll be right back.